Warning! This video may contain foul language, discussion of sex, prostitutes, and other adult topics that might make some people squeamish. If you can't handle this, leave now, but don't bitch to me. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Scott, and I'm an American in Bangkok. Today, I'm coming to you from the confines of my kids' bedroom. And the reason is because the air conditioner in this room works best. It's the best air conditioner in the entire house, and it is so hot right now that if I'm downstairs and I don't have a fan on me, I'm going to be miserable. The air conditioner downstairs doesn't work, and the air conditioner in my bedroom is piss poor. So it's nice and cool in this room. I won't be sweating, which is always nice. Anyway, I figured that since I've been making all these videos on Thailand and what to do when you're here and everything, I might tell some people how I got here. So, basically, what happened was I was living in California, and I was working as a printing estimator. I was a customer service rep, and I was doing all the estimating of printing. I had experience in printing, and I landed a job out in the Palm Springs area. And basically, I did all the estimating of jobs and dealt with the customers. Well, I worked there for quite a few years, and every year I'd make a trip to the Netherlands. And every time I went, I always thought about, wow, how could I live here? I really would love to live in the Netherlands. Such a great place. And to this day, I love the Netherlands. So if you're Dutch out there, yeah, I love Breda, Rotterdam, Amsterdam. Cool places there. Anyway, so what happened was after a while, it became apparent that the owner didn't have quite as much pep in his step. He was getting older. And then one day, the manager came and said, and he was a friend of mine, his name was Ralph, and he came to me and he said, you know what, the owner has a heart problem, and Friday's the last day, we're shutting it down. I said, whoa, wow, it was a big surprise. And the thing is that if you're working in the desert area, you're either working in a resort or with people who are tourists or whatever. It's basically a tourist town. So for me, this was a big thing because I didn't know where I was going to work. And I was worried because here I was all the way out in the desert area and I didn't know what I was going to do for work. And I spent the next couple of days thinking about what am I going to do. And then it dawned upon me on Friday that if I knew all the customers, I was dealing with all the customers. And in the past, I had brokered jobs on my own. I had brokered paper for different companies. I had brokered brochures, four-color brochures, and all kinds of other things for different companies. And I had made money on the side. And that allowed me to travel to London one year and basically, I knew enough to feel comfortable. So I got the customer list. I printed it all out. I talked to the owner. I said, I'd like to continue doing business. I'll just be a broker. I know places that will do the printing. And is that okay? Yes, it's okay. All right. Great. He wished me luck. And then come Monday, there was a British woman who had just divorced from her husband. She owned a golf cart company, and she was just pissed off at the guy and basically bitter towards him. And she said, listen, you know what? If you need an office, I got an office in the back of my warehouse. You can shut the door in the middle, and it'll be all your office. Nobody will know there's a golf cart company in the back, or rather in the front, and I'll rent it to you for $100 a month. And I said, wow, can't beat that. So I had a good relationship with her. I did printing for her and gave it to her basically at cost. And I got a place for $100 a month. I went out and bought some furniture. And then I proceeded to call every single customer on the customer list and told them that I was taking over the printing, that I would get them prices that were the same or even a little bit lower. You've been dealing with me all these years, so why not continue dealing with me in the future? And I'd say 90% of them stayed on with me. And the first couple of months were rough, trying to figure things out, but in time, things worked out just fine, you know. So I started making money, and I started having more money than I had ever really made in my life. The company was grossing anywhere from $5,000 to $10,000 a month. We got some construction. And we got some construction going on, and now there's a truck driving by that's selling the vegetables. And I can hear it all the way in the back of my my house. Anyway, so let's see, where was I? I started making money. I was having a great time. But basically, I was spending the money as fast as I could. I was my girlfriend at the time liked to drink champagne, so I was buying Dom Perignon. I was buying all kinds of bottles of fine tequila and spending money. We were going places and doing things that cost a lot of money. We were going out to dinner. The dinner was a couple hundred bucks for two of us. And so it was nice, but in hindsight, I probably could have been better with my money. Now, the thing is that I started getting stressed out because I had a lot of pressure on me. I had all these people counting on me, and I didn't want to screw up. You know, I had a casino that I had done business with for many years, and they were giving me free tickets to fights, and I was meeting all these fighters, and I would go to all these events, and I was still making, I would give them a discount for doing that, but I was still making really, really good money, and I was making quite a bit of money from them. So I wanted to make sure that everybody was happy, so I was under a lot of pressure, or at least I thought I was. Now, what I did was I hired an assistant. She was a friend of a friend, and she was very stable. She was married, she had kids, and she was I got along with her quite well. She went out of her way for me, and I went out of my way for her. We had an understanding that she'd help me and I would help her. And if she needed to do something, she just had to tell me ahead of time, and things would be fine. So she got to know the business. She knew enough about printing to where she could help me. And it worked quite nice. And then after a while, once we got settled and she got the hang of everything and I was comfortable, it came to me that I could probably, because of the internet and because of the use of the phone, and even then there was voice IP, but it was pretty bad. I think it was Net2Phone or something that I used to use. But anyway, I decided, you know what? Maybe I'll finally take that trip to Thailand. You know, I've been to London, I've been to Amsterdam, I've been to Belgium, I've been all over Belgium, I've been all over Europe, and I've been North America, and I had some traveling experience, so I thought, now is the time for me to go. I can get away for a week or so, and I feel experienced enough to deal with the language barrier, and I'd like to go. So I decided, okay, let me see what I can do for a ticket, and what happened was I found courier tickets. I remembered about air couriers. I don't even know if they have them anymore. But basically, they use your luggage to transport documents. And in return, you pay something anywhere from $50 to, I think I got one ticket for $50 once. It was a spur of the moment. Can you leave tomorrow? I said, yes. Boom, $50. And I was on the next plane. But I used the couriers. I took like five or six trips, and I used them for all but one trip. And the way that it worked was you had to be at the airport at a certain time. You were allowed a carry-on bag, and then they used your luggage. You carried some documents, and everything was legit. They were completely legal. They weren't transporting drugs or anything like that with your luggage, so it was safe. And then when you got to the airport, some guy just had a sign and he was waiting for you. You'd walk up, you'd hand him the envelope, and then you knew the time that you were supposed to be back in the airport, and there was no changing your flight or anything like that. You couldn't do that. So you were set. You had to go at the times that they told you. And so that was the negative, and then the luggage was a negative, but it wasn't that much of a negative. So I went back and forth, and I thought, wow, you know, I had wanted to live in the Netherlands, and I thought, wow, you know, I remember the exact time I was going down the river up in, I think it's the Mamping or something like that. It's up in Chiang Rai. I was going down Chiang Rai, and I thought, if I really wanted, I could get $300 and get a little place here and have enough for food because it's that cheap. And then I thought, if I had a couple hundred bucks more, I could do things and I could live pretty good. And I thought, wow, that's not much. I ought to be able to make that much. How can I do that? And I couldn't figure out how to do it. I checked on whether or not I could print in Thailand. I actually went into a print shop and said, yeah, I'd like to work as a printer. Is it possible? And they looked at me like, are you crazy? Because I had no clue. There were no forums that I knew of. There was no guides that told you, hey, you can do this job, you can't do that job. I didn't know to look on the Ministry of Foreign Affairs page or the immigration page to see what kind of things you were allowed to do and not allowed to do. I really knew very little when I first came here. So anyway, I went back, and I'm just thinking to myself, how am I going to do this? I have to do it. And I had some money, and I thought, you know, I had a couple grand. I mean, I always had 4 or 5 grand in the bank, and usually I tried to keep it at around that, and I just thought to myself, this isn't going to cut it. I can't go there for 6 months, run out of money, and then come back to nothing in the United States and have no money in the bank. It's not going to work. I'll be on the street. And I was starting to contemplate just giving it up and just socking his way as much money as I could. But there was a guy who worked in a little fishing company down a couple doors down from my office. And I had talked to him for a couple of years, and I knew that he was traveling back and forth to Indonesia. And what he did was he shipped things back and he carried things back from Indonesia and sold them in the United States to his family, to his friends, to anybody he could. And he made enough to pay for his trip. And then he had money left over. And I told him what I wanted to do. And he said, oh, you can't give up. He said, you have to figure it out. He said, don't give up. I said, okay, fine. So I used the internet. I used to sit on the internet when there was nothing to do. And when there was some quiet time, I would sit on the computer and I would just browse the internet. And I thought, wow, wait a minute. You know what? I'm going to look how to sell your business. And I ended up finding some companies, and I settled on one company in particular. I think they had the best website, and it was the easiest to navigate. It basically told you everything you needed to do to sell the business. And what I found out was that I wasn't doing anything right. I was doing everything wrong. I didn't have a balance sheet, didn't have a profit and loss statement, I didn't have any kind of income statement or anything else that I needed. And I thought, wow, that pretty much puts me in a bind, because although I can show a bank statement that shows I'm depositing this much money every month, there was no way for me to prove that I was netting a certain amount. And then there was a formula, you know, you're supposed to get X amount of months or X amount of years of your monthly income. Wait a minute, what was it? Let me start over again. Basically, there's a formula, and you sell the business you're supposed to sell the business at a certain number of whatever your income is for the year. You're supposed to multiply that times a number, and then you get the figure that, along with your balance sheet and your income statement and your profit and loss and your assets and liabilities, you're supposed to be able to figure out via this formula how much the business is worth. Well, I had no way of figuring that number out. And I just went, Jesus, now I'm going to have to wait another 2 years or so before I can do this. And I thought, I want to get out of here now. I want to leave, man. I want to get out of here. I can live in Thailand at least for a year, and things, I'll come back and I'll be relaxed. And actually what I thought was, I will have time to finally get to know myself without the stress of day-to-day life, without worrying about taking care of the customer, is my boss happy, are all the bills paid. And, you know, I had a girlfriend, and she was a great girl, but there was a couple things missing in our relationship, and we kind of knew that it wasn't going to go anywhere. And like I said, she was a great girl. Different, but she was a great girl, and we knew it wasn't going to go anywhere. And I actually asked her, which I don't know why I did this, but I said, do you want to go to Thailand with me? She didn't want to go to Thailand on a trip, much less move there. She was a real estate agent. And I remember when I asked her, I remember very distinctly what she said. I asked her, I said, would you like to go to Thailand with me? I'll pay for your ticket. I'll pay for the hotel and everything. All you have to do is have a little spending money for yourself. And she said, why would I want to go to Thailand? It's filthy there and they don't even speak English. And I thought, wow. With everything else that was kind of lacking in the relationship, I don't see it going anywhere with that mentality, because I don't have that same mentality. I have the mentality that I want to explore things. I want to see the dirtiest, the dingiest, the most grotesque, and I want to see the cleanest. I want to see the extremes. I don't want to just see the average everyday kind of lifestyle. And in Palm Springs, I had a pretty good lifestyle. I mean, I had a nice apartment. I was living with my girlfriend. We had a nice apartment. I was able, at one point what I did was I gave up the office because I didn't have to pay for the rent, I didn't have to pay everything, and I was trying to get as much money as I could together. I gave up the office, I didn't have to pay for electricity, which was actually a couple hundred dollars a month because of the air conditioning that I used in my area. And we figured out a formula, and it didn't work out to be very good, so I ended up paying quite a bit for using the air conditioner. And it was hot there also. But anyway, basically I decided that I would just work out of my apartment and we'll see what happens. I'll see, can I sell this business? Can I save enough money to where if I sell the business or if I get rid of it or I just stop, I have enough money to last me for say a year, and then I'll figure out what to do when I come back. So I used to sit by the pool on the cordless phone, making phone calls, making business calls, and then I would have my assistant go and pick up jobs and pick up checks and stuff like that, and it worked out pretty good. I did that for probably 3 to 4 months, and then there was a guy who had a print shop, and he was a printer. He had equipment. I had been a printer, but I eventually became an estimator. Anyway, I knew the guy outside of printing. And we had been pretty good friends, and he opened up a print shop down the street, and he had his customers, I had my customers, and when he heard, in passing, I told him, I said, hey, you know, man, I want to get rid of my business, man, I'm stressed out, and I want to see the world. There's more to the world than just right here. I want to see the world. I want some fun, man. I want to see things. I want to experience life outside of just going to work every day. And he said, wow, so you're trying to sell your business? And I said, yeah, but you know, I don't have a profit and loss sheet. I don't have assets and liabilities. I mean, you know, I said, you know how it is. I had $500. I bought furniture, got the price list or the customer list, and that was it, basically. I paid to move into the office. And with $500, I had myself a business that was making quite a bit of money, you know. And he said, are you sure you want to give it up? And I said, man, I want to give it up. I want out of here. And, you know, maybe it was more stupidity than guts, but I just wanted something different. So he made me an offer, and the offer was he'd give me 10 grand in cash, and he would send me, he would wire transfer me $1,000 a month for 2 years. Now, I didn't particularly like that, but at the time, I wasn't savvy enough to go to the bank and say, listen, you know, I need a letter of credit. You know, this guy needs a letter of credit. I want to make sure I get paid one way or the other. So we just did a handshake deal. He gave me a check for 10 grand. I went to the bank, and then basically, you know, a few days later, I was on the plane for Thailand. I had been to Thailand 5 or 6 times. I knew people, and I remember a couple things about coming to Thailand. The very first time I came and it was like midnight, and I was sitting in this taxi driver's in this taxi, and it was late at night, and there was all these buildings that were half finished, and the place was filthy. I mean, the airport was Don Mueang Airport, and I'm coming from the place just going, I came 11,000 miles for this. I mean, look at this place. I can't believe I spent my money to come here. But in time, the place kind of grows on you. The smells, the people, the sights, the half-finished buildings, and the atmosphere, the electricity of the place. And I remember that, and then I remember the feeling that when I got off the plane and I was moving to Thailand, I felt so, actually it was before then, but I felt so free. I felt free of stress and free of, I just felt completely free. And actually, what ended up happening was on the Monday that I opened my business, the brokering business, there was a guy who had a print shop in the area. And he knew that I was vital to the operation because I knew all the customers. And he said to me, come see me on Monday and let's talk. I said, okay, fine. I don't know what you want to talk about. I didn't particularly like the guy. He was a bit arrogant. And what was funny was that he was British also, which I got nothing against Brits at all, but he just happened to be British, and he was a bit arrogant, and I didn't particularly like him. And I think he kind of talked down to me a little bit, and I didn't like that. And he said to me, he said, listen, I'm buying the business. I'm taking over. This business is not closing down. And you're not going to get the customer list. I said, well, I already got it. He said, yeah, but I'm not going to let you use it. I said, okay, well, we'll see about that. And that right there set me off. I didn't want to work for the guy. And he said to me, listen, I got an easier way. We can work together. And he was willing to pay me something like $40,000 a year, which was pretty decent for the job that I was doing. I mean, it was fair enough. And there was benefits and all this stuff. And I turned it down. I said, you know what? I don't want to do it. And he said, what? Are you kidding? He said, you know, that's good money. He said, you're making good money. You got benefits. What are you going to do where you're, I mean, think about it. He goes, I want you to think. What are you going to do that is going to make you the same money and you're going to have benefits and everything else? And I said, you know what? I don't want to work for you. I don't care. You don't need to worry about what I'm doing and how I am. I don't want you to worry about me. It's okay. And you know, I opened my business that same day. And later on, he came to my business and said, you know, if I have to, I'm going to call the police because you have the customer list. And I said, well, you know what? Call them because I made a deal with the owner, the original owner. I don't know what you guys did afterwards, but we made a verbal agreement. We had a verbal agreement, and sorry, but if you come back to my business and you set foot in my business, I'm going to throw your ass. I'm going to throw you out on your ass. And he was older, and I was a lot more fit then, and I would have done it. I was like, I'm going to throw this guy out on his ass because I don't want to have to deal with this because I made the deal ahead of him, and he didn't like it. So anyway, what I remember is I felt free when I told him, don't worry about me. I'm doing what I want. I felt free at that point where I had started my own business, and I knew there was a good chance I was going to make pretty good money. And then when I got off the plane and I set foot, and I actually went to some bars where I knew people, and I said, oh yeah, you know, now I've moved here. I live here. And then I was like, you think you can help me? I need some things for my apartment. Can you help me find an apartment? I don't even know where to, I don't know where to go shopping. I didn't really know much of anything other than I like Thailand. And then from there, things took off. And that will be in part two. So for now, I'm Scott. I'm an American in Bangkok. Until next time, chok di lat jerk and mai.